약간 turning to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I read to you verse 39 to 40. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Lift up my hand to heaven, and I say, I live forever. So, to continue our studies in the, concerning the last, the end of man, the end of man, as we started last week, and it's matters of death, and as we look at the death of the human body, and as I said also that for Christians and the Bible as our guide in everything, the Bible teaches us what life really is and how the end of life is. And God, who made us, is only a right authority in these matters. Though there are many views and opinions, even some draw their opinion, their opinions from the Bible, yet draw it wrongly about death, and there's so much confusion sometimes. And as those of us in Africa and Ghana, you know how often people's ideas about death is mixed up with even Christians, those who claim to be Christians, the ideas about death is mixed up with traditional beliefs. So many people may not really say so, but they act accordingly. But for us Christians, we have to look at how the Bible teaches about that. And as I said, what the Bible teaches is the only revelation God has given on the subject. Any other ideas, they are just mere imaginations of the human mind. So, in considering this teaching, the Bible, the end of man, remind ourselves of last week. Last week, we look at how the Bible describes death. There are so many expressions the Bible uses to tell us what death really means. And we learn that death of the body is a disintegration of the soul and body when there's separation. And as we learn from Ecclesiastes, that and then the dust shall return to the dust, and the spirit return to God who gave it. So there is a separation, so that each one of us, as we live, we have an invisible part of us and that of the physical body. Yes, sometimes people confuse the two, and as if when we die, that's a soul until the day of resurrection, but it's not so. Immediately we die, there's a separation of the soul from the body. And also, the Bible describes the death of the body as a deep death, a demolition of the human body. The Apostle Paul said that, especially to believers, he said that we know that when our earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed, we have a house with God not made with hands. Meaning, concerning the body, the human body, when it is destroyed, we have another one. So that we lay down this body to the dust. And we also look at death as, the Bible pictures death as a departure out of this world to another. Remember David himself said at the time, the Lord Jesus Christ said he's going to depart to the Father. His time has come for him to depart. And Apostle Paul also speaks a similar expression that his time to depart is at hand, departing to another world. Which also tells us that death is like we is like we traveling from one place to the other, and it makes it like living in one locality and moving to the other, so that the death do not really extinguish our existence. It's just relocation where the body is laid down, and then the spirit goes where it has to go. And also, we saw that death was also a going out of the way of all the earth. And as we saw David using a similar expression, I think Jacob or one of the patriarchs also using it, that he was going to, Joshua said that he was going out of the way of all the earth, and means that it's a path that all human beings must trod. Death is like a path all must pass through. It's a way which all must, the way of all the earth, all those who, humans who live there, must pass through this way. And also, we saw it as a sleeping until the day of the resurrection. Apostle Paul uses this that those who were dead, he called that they were asleep. Especially in reference to believers, we show that death is just a short period, and this is something that is not forever. There will be a change for those who are dead now. And this is concerning, again, the death of the human body. We are not talking of the soul. We talk about the soul later. So we continue with the same thoughts on the human body. But today, our subject is the aspect of death, which is still in connection with the human body. And the larger topic is the end of man. So aspects of death, I mean, properties of death. I mean, some things, so features that death, we have to know about death. Because not just that death is death, but for instance, the first thing we think about here is that the administration of death. You ask the question, does death happen just like that? Yes, if you look at that, it seems like that. Well, we just see, we are with somebody, a relative. A relative or friend, and all of a sudden we hear that he's gone. So it seems that death is like, it just happened like that. In that sense, that's what we say. But then, so the question comes to our mind, who administers death? Who disposes life? That's the question, which is very important to think of. That this one too, you know, our part of the world, you know why they got there. So they took somebody as well. Somebody, they have cursed the person, and he died, and he was a Jew. And so people think that, well, yes, anybody can cause death. So we see, I mean, as we go on and see, that, I mean, who causes death itself, and whichever way it comes, who do we have to look at, look up to? So I read to you some verses, I mean, and my third verse will be the verse from Deuteronomy, then I'll carry on. In Job chapter 12, verse 9 to 10, Job speaking here about his case. He says that, who knoweth not in all this that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, concerning his trouble that came upon him and all the disaster, life trouble that came upon him. But you know that it was Satan who really was causing. I say, who knoweth not that in all this that the hand of the Lord had wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. So the first thinking, it is in God's hand that every life is. It's kept. Or whether believers or unbelievers. So that's the first thinking. And Job, as a believer, knows this. So he knows that his situation, I'm sure Job didn't know Satan was, whom God has permitted to do that. So, and it is true, it was God, even Satan has to go and take permission. So it was God who was allowing Satan to buffet him like that. So Job said, what Job says is true. In whose hand, God is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Yes, all human beings and even other living things, but then all human beings in particular are in the hand of God. And I read to you also Psalm 104, verse 29, talking to God about how if he kept at a distance from us, we are in trouble. It says that, thou hidest thy face, they are trouble, humans, everyone. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their death. So he takes away what? Their breath. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, when God created man, the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So the Bible says, thou takest away their breath. He takes away that which gives them life. That's why we look at the disintegration of the soul and body. So when God takes out that breath from man, man is dead. And this act of taking out the breath is from God. It doesn't matter the instrument that he uses is from God. Because when the soul exits the body, it goes back to him. He takes it back to himself. Then I come to my Deuteronomy 32, verse 39 to 40. This is the word of God himself. He said, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me, I kill and make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there anything that any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and I say, I live forever. So look at this. We say that I kill and I make alive. And I'm sure some people will be wondering, why God? People think that, well, so I remember when I was working at Melbourne, there was a friend when I talked about that, well, for Christian death, you shouldn't be afraid of death because God is the one who takes life. And she told me that, why do I speak so lightly about death? It's like, death is something, when you mention, people feel so, something is a taboo to mention. I said, no. If you look at the Bible, that's what the Bible says. And that's what God is saying. He said, I kill. You see, but how do people think about death? But God said, I kill. Always they think that, well, Satan is the one and demons that are killing. But God said, I kill. So both the beginning and the end of life are in God's hands. As we see the death of the human body. The beginning of life, say that I kill and make alive. No one can do that. Say, I, even I. He claims it for himself. Like how God says that the whole world is mine. No one claims the whole world is his. Nobody can do that. Say that everything in the world is mine. The same way he speaks about death also, that he disposes death. So he's the sovereign disposer of life. He's the one to bring to the end of a life, any one of us, anyone who ever lived, or is living. God is the one who will bring, if we are to die one day, he is the one to bring our life to an end. God is he who gives life and breath and all sustenance to mankind. You remember the psalm, thou hidest thyself, because he sustains us. If he should draw that support, then say that then they are troubled. Even in troubles of life, when God allows, permit troubles to come to us, and we don't, as believers, we don't see his help, how we are troubled. You see, so that is, so it goes that he that gives life also has the right to take it away. He only, because none ever gives life. None ever gives life. So he that gives life has the right to take it away. He only orders or permits death. He only orders or permits. Sometimes he directly orders it for people to die. In the case of Moses, when I come to conclusion, I'll talk about that. He said that go to the mountain to go and die. He orders it. And sometimes he permits it through other instruments. And yet it is his way that people should die. Though people may kill others to commit their sins, but then the life, the permit, the circumstance, everything is under his control. It's not that somebody just got up and he killed someone, and that's a God. I think God, it was a surprise to God, no. God is the one who is in charge of death. So that's the language of scripture. No one is, remember how these charismatic, when they go to their all-night prayers, and as if Satan is destroying their families, and their prayers that Satan should die, and all that prayer, die, because you see they want to fight, so that if they don't do that, Satan will maybe kill them or something. No. God is the one who kills and also gives life. So somebody may ask, what about Satan, whom the Bible says he has the power over death? But there's a verse in Hebrews 2, verse 14 to 15, says that, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, talking about Jesus Christ, he also himself, like talking about the elect of God that Christ came to deliver from our enemies. So that for us, as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that the Christ also himself, likewise took part of the same, coming to take our human nature, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So here, the idea that we are told that Satan has the power of death. So him that has the power of death. So if we say God is the one who has the power of death, what does that mean? Because that itself tells us Satan has the power of death. It is true, and it is said of Satan, he has the power of death, yet his power over death is not absolute. His power over death is not absolute. In the same way, the Bible tells us Christ died to deliver us from the bondage of Satan, the power of Satan. It is because of sin that has brought us under that. And here, God, in his own way, allows him to do because of disobedience. He rules over children of disobedience. That's what the Bible tells us. And one of the things, the lot of the children of disobedience is death and the miseries and everything that comes. So, Satan, sometimes God gives him the right to take the deprive people of temporal lives. Because the Bible says he has that right. But it's not absolute, it's by permission of God. Because if you look at the case of Job, you know, God told him, do this and that, but preserve his life. See? So if we don't have examples in the scripture, we might say, oh, then that is true, Satan. No, but God is only the one who can permit the devil, Satan, any measure of power concerning any power that he has. Whether his demonic workings beyond, which we cannot see. Sometimes God allows him to work, and his workings is all over, deception, lies, and falsehood is all over. But then God alone can restrict him. So, like the case of Job, it shows that he's limited by God unless God permits him. Unless God permits him to act. And often his acting is on children of disobedience, as I've said. That is why before Jesus Christ came, we know that there was so much of Satan possession, demon possessions, and especially when it comes to Gentile world because of idolatry, idol worship. And even today, if you go to places where there's so much idol worship, this kind of demonic worship, and many people are affected by evil spirit and all that. See, so wherever he's able to work, he's able to bring this kind of his dark workings. But for us believers in Christ, we have been delivered from every power of Satan, and also every power from his demonic host. Whatever witches or wizards or whatever it is, believers are delivered from. For the salvation of Christ from the power of sin, from Satan, is a whole. So for believers in Christ, Satan has nothing to do with that. He may just tempt us, suggest foolish thoughts to us, and to incite us when we give ourselves to Allah. Beyond that, Satan cannot do anything to us. Sometimes people have asked me, so can a believer be bewitched by sorcerers? I said, no, it's never true. If the person is a genuine believer, no, it will never happen. Christ has delivered all believers from the power of Satan and everything. You know that our part of the world, this is very common, and these false pastors are always telling people as if when they are saved from sin, my God has allowed them for demons and Satan and all that. So that's why people are afraid when they are saying, well, they are Christians, but then they have to fight against Satan. No human being can fight against a spirit. No human being can do that. So Satan is a spirit, and so what he does in the realm that we don't see, he does it when God permits him. He like that's in Revelation we had a picture of him that he was changed. He has been changed. I mean, if a dog is changed, at least he goes around where the chain can reach. Beyond that, he can. So the power of God that restricts him, only God, the area of his influence, maybe God, I mean, because of judicial, maybe punishment to people who want to stay in there. God may allow Satan to trouble, but then when it comes to the world entirely, Satan's power has been demoted, and the gospel light has brought victory. So we also say Satan has power over death because he introduced death to the human race by sin. So we connect that because how did death come to the human race? So Satan, who first deceived Adam, and he sinned, and then we all inherited this sin from Adam, and also the death from Adam, as we are told in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So long as death has passed upon all men, death, physical death also, which there was the spiritual death, but we are talking about the physical aspect today. So physical death also has passed upon all men, and it is true, all men too spiritually are dead. But we know that we can, those who come to Christ are delivered from that. But as for physical death, all men are into it, because we are born into this world as sinners. And it's true, this deceived, I mean, Satan, he brought death into the world. So that's why he's said to have power over death, because he brought death. If sin, he has not brought a sin to our human race through Adam, there will be no death, because he brought, he deceived them. And however, as I said before, though he can, he has, God can give him power, but then inflicting of death on anyone is the right of God alone. As I said, by his order or by permission, he only has the right. Satan don't have the right, though he said to have power, and we have seen the context in which he has that power. But then, if we talk of inflicting of death, it is only God who orders, permits it. You know, even in nations where we have judicial, the judiciary sentencing people to firing squad and other things, yes, because they have that authority is given to them, and God approves that, and they can cause the death of people if they are found guilty. In that sense, God permits that, for them to bring people to that kind of death. Because in the time of Israel, he sometimes said that he that does this must be killed. And those, the judges at that time must make sure such people are killed. Even there's one law which says that a child, I will not respect the parents. When the parents bring the child to the officers and say that this child, we give birth to him, doesn't respect us, he's a drunkard, he's this, and they lay their hands on him, they will stone him to death. And it was God's permission. So you see, he only has power to order the death of life. And I remember there was this question about people say, well, in the Old Testament, we are told that a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, so that it's as if that when somebody does something to me, even if he maybe kill somebody that who relate to me, I can also kill the person. But I say no, that tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, it was not for personal. It was not for certain personal scores. It was for the judge to pronounce that this person has done this, so he has to be killed. For private, it's all given for private. That's why the law said that shall not kill. For private killing, it wasn't. But for, what do you call it, the judges causing the death of the person who has come under the condemnation of the law. So people sometimes think, well, the Bible says that a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. No, that isn't about personal injuries where you rise up and you kill somebody or you do hurt somebody. So it comes under that. So God gives rights for people's lives to be taken, even in the Old Testament, under the law, in several ways, people's lives are to be taken. And then nobody can rise up and take the life of one. Even elsewhere, we are told that when two people are fighting and one cause the death of the person, he has to be killed. And even when the incident happened, even if it's not intentional, he has to run to the city of refuge so the matter is settled. So you see how it's been there. So God permitted there, but then he gave rules how it ought to be administered. But then he is the one. He alone sanctions death as well as afflictions and sufferings as punishment for sin. As we see, the punishment he gave to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 19. We cannot read, but then remember, it was because of sin that he pronounced that from death he took Adam, from dust Adam came, and dust he returned. He also told him that he would suffer and sweat, so he returned to his grave. And so it was sin that brought everything, and it was only God who sanctioned death as a punishment for sin. And that all forms of death come because there's sin in the world. All sort of death comes because there's sin in the world, and it's God who has sanctioned it that through sin, death must be used as punishment, whether temporal or eternal. So, whichever means death meets anyone, whether extraordinary or ordinary, they are under God's administration. You know that for us, we sometimes think some debts are so extraordinary. Something we don't really understand, the mystery debt and all that. Sometimes we just go there, it was a normal debt. I mean, whichever way it is, they all come by God's own administration. They come under His administration. Appointment with death is part of God's providence for a world ruined by sin. Our world is ruined by sin, so God has also appointed death as its deserves, as a reward for sin. Sin is in the world, and so death is also in the world. That is why in heaven, in the new world, we are told there will be no death. There will be no more misery. There will be no more pain. Because sin is not there. God will... where God lives, there is no death. Because sin is not there. And no sinner, without being forgiven of sin, through the Lord Jesus Christ, being washed from sin, can get to heaven. Because though we are all sinners, as we say, sinners saved by grace, then we can go to heaven. If we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has washed us with His blood. That's the only way. Else, as we live in this world, ruined by sin, we cannot go to heaven. As one preacher said, if sinners are allowed to heaven, they will destroy heaven, because they cannot fit there. So sinners cannot go to heaven, except we are forgiven. Okay, so God alone determines the period of our existence, each one of us, and also appoints our exit. Well, let's see some texts concerning these things. In Job 14, verse 5, we are told, seeing Job speaking about human beings as such, so that seeing his days are determined, talking generally of every person, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Seeing his days, is he... Interesting, the Bible doesn't count us with years. The Bible counts our times with days. Seeing his days are determined. Our days are determined. The number of years we ought to live are determined. The Methuselah who lived almost 1,000 years, his days were determined. Everyone's days are determined. Though ours may not be here today or tomorrow, yet it will count. The number of his months are with thee. It's like each and every day he gives. It's like I don't know if you go to fishing with a hook and a line. You see, when the fish come to swallow the bait, and sometimes because you want the bait to really get inside well, you allow more thread and it'll be going. Then by the time you pull it back, then it has really gotten hold of it. So that is how we are. We are just giving days, and so the days of sinners. It's like God giving them more trade. And one day He just pulls them, then they are hooked. And death has met them. Because there are people who think that, well, they are so, in their own mind, they are so wise, and that they use all sorts of, maybe they have proper medication, and well, they think they can sustain their life. How long can anybody sustain life with medicines? Even if you are to live 100 years, you take the medicine to do nothing to you again. I mean, you become miserable in this world. So you see how it is God alone. And you see that, but thou hast appointed his bound that he cannot pass. The day, hour, and minute, there can't be a second for the time God has given. There cannot be added even a second to that. It's amazing, isn't that also? And yet how sometimes we think, how wise we think we are, not considering this matter. So that whether afflictions or death, if God permits, none can escape them. You see, if God wants anything to meet us, none can escape it. We are like in a garden. When you are railing animals and goats and fowl, and you want to catch one of them, you see how they think they are free to move about. But by the time you corner them out to a certain, they are not able to move about. Yeah, that is how we are. We sometimes think we are wild, but then when we are cornered by afflictions, illness, you see how we become, the most strongest person is broken down by illness. He cannot even lift a limb. That is how we are. And yet, how proud we are sometimes. In Acts 17:26, Apostle Paul preaching here at Athens, he said that, and hath made, that is speaking about God, hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation. So here, exciting where we will have to live in this world, where we have to be born, and then how we will grow up and everything. It's not it's not by chance that we have all gathered here. We are all from different places. Some of us didn't grow up in Accra. Some of us grew up somewhere, but we are here because it is by God's permission and appointment that we should be here. See? And all that we are doing, He's aware of that. So this reminds us that our existence here on earth is not by chance, but by the wise arrangement of the Creator, which includes our exit too. So that while we think of He ordered everything, then we think of our exit from this world too, He has also ordered it. In Matthew 10:29, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" Speaking to the disciples, encouraging them about how they shouldn't worry about tomorrow, so that they will be free from anxious care, He uses this. But this one also tells us something, so that sparrows, these are theirs, and so none of them shall fall, none of them will die without your Father's knowledge, without God's it's interesting that even animals, the life of animals are not lost by chance. Sometimes I just think, and look at ants and everything, God knows that everything. God tells us the very hairs of our head are numbered. It's not amazing. So it's no wonder that He knows, it is His. He created them. So we may not understand, we may not be able to grasp it, but this is how it is. So that matters of death are also part of His government of this world. Matters of death are part of His arrangement for this world. As I said, for a world ruined with sin. A world that there is so much. And even, death is even good for the world. Because, look at the tyrants. When tyrants begin to reign in the world, look at the history of tyrants. And if you look at their end, look at Hitler himself, we're told that finally he has to shoot himself. Napoleon, we are told that finally he has to exile himself to some island. And many great tyrants in the world, look at their end. And if you go to the Bible, even Saul himself, he has to die in war, just helpless, time of war. You see, death really is good for the world. Sometimes, when we lose a relative, a loved one, yes, it's painful and sorrowful. But if you look at the general picture of death, death is good for the world. So that by it, God, why is getting rid of people, tyrants, and those who become, if we should, God should allow them, they will do so much harm are taken along. It's like when there's a flood in a place. You see, there are so many things that is taken along. Elsewhere, Moses pictured death as a flood. You see, it takes everything along, heavy things and cars and some of the whole building is washed away. That's the picture. So death also washes everything. Whatever, so that the new generation will come again. When those who have lived in a particular place, like Sodom and Gomorrah, when people in a particular place become so sinful, God, by His own punishment, takes them away. The people of the land of Canaan, the Bible tells us that the sin of the Amorites was not yet ripened. Even after he waited around after 400 years. For Israel to go. So you see that death is also good for the world. Apart from just thinking that God appointing it, because we are living in a world ruled with sin. And without death in the world, we don't know how the world will be. I don't know how the world will be indeed. But death ends everything. Okay. And also, even when sicknesses attack us and we are not able to have any remedy, sometimes ending it with death is the best, so that we are relieved from it. Generally, I'm not talking about Christian, but generally. Sometimes, when people suffer with illness for a long time, they even wish they are dead and gone. I remember a friend who died 3 years, a year ago. When I visited him the last time, he has been bedridden for 2 years, not going out anywhere. He had become so frustrated, and he wished he's dead. It didn't take long, he died. He didn't die as a believer, though. But then that's how it is. Death makes us to exit the troubles of life, sometimes. So sometimes a beloved one may die. We may weep, fine, but we shouldn't overweep, because we don't know that sometimes the person may be sick for some time. We don't know the pain the person was going through. Death has relieved it. Though if he's a sinner, it's not ended for him, but at least for this life, death has relieved. But for believers, it's something good. Well, I'll move on to the various means God employs to bring death. The most common are diseases of different kinds, as I've already hinted. Diseases of different kinds, whether plagues, whether coronavirus, there's pestilences, or just normal malaria, as we say, or fever, whatever. Whichever way people are carried along by death, any disorder in the body, is the way God employs death on this side of hell, where we live in sin, different kinds of illnesses. So we know that because illness came to this world because of sin. Because of sin. And illnesses leads to, if it's not, they are not treated, it leads to death. So I also believe, because this illness are caused by viruses and bacteria. I'm sure when, though bacteria and viruses may be there, but because sin came in, then God allowed them to become hurtful to us. I'm sure if we had not sinned, bacteria couldn't have given us any infection, you see. But because of sin now, they come to us. In the same way how, like, lions and snakes have now attacks us because of sin. So all other things which science may say, well, they are working against us, and we need to prevent all the preventions. If sin had not come in, they could have been there because they were creation. I'm sure they would have been used for other purposes, which would be better for the human race. So death, sin has brought death, and then we have all forms of diseases. So sometimes God also uses angels to inflict death. That one we don't see, but the Bible tells us in 2 Kings 19:35, we see the case of Assyria. God, let me read to you. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. We don't see this, but the Bible tells us that God is able to use angels. These are not demonic angels. These are angels of the Lord. Because God himself coming to take life, in the form of the angel of the Lord as we have here. So God himself sends his angel to bring death. And you see how massive it was. How many, over what? 104,500. It's only a small death. But then it was, inflicted by the angel of the Lord. Sometimes also by wars, natural disasters, calamities, like famine, flood, and earthquakes, natural disasters. It's God who allows them to happen. Earthquakes and other things. Science will calculate and tell us, well, and this is the magnitude, and there was some boiling here, but whatever it is, it was God who has allowed it to cause death and to bring the end of life of a particular person. Because the same disaster may happen, people may escape. People who were nearly about to expire may escape from, but some who were better off may die out of it. So it is God using, some also he called them, they are his servants. They are his servant to do his will. And the Bible calls this different, his servants. If we don't know the Bible using this, then we may have thought, like the world and the unbelievers, thinking how illnesses and everything are against us. But no, the Bible tells us because of sin, these things come to this world. And if it happens to us, if we are believers, we should rather look up to God. If for relief or for his taking our life or the life of our loved ones, we only thank him and ask him that he will give us the strength to continue. But see how when death comes, what people do? They are bitter, and their bitterness always turns against God. That knows you. Naturally, if it's not against those who maybe cause them, they turn against God. Instead of it's good to turn against God, but for relief. Remember yesterday we looked at the Bible telling us that God hears prayer, and Psalm 107 telling us the different category of prayers that can call on him. So that when we are in trouble, we only call on him. If you have mercy on us, we leave us. Or else, we leave our life in his hands to do what he pleases with us. But if we are unbelievers, we will always be annoyed when this thing starts. The trouble being that comes before death. They are annoyed and they are crazy. And yet they never live for God who gave them life. And they are prone to be annoyed. So I'm coming to my conclusion. Death, so we think of death also, finally, death is an appointment for all people, believers and unbelievers. Look at, in our reading, we didn't get there, but the death of Moses. Look at God himself in chapter 32, verse 39, speaking about death, that he really inflicted. He says, so see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and make alive, I wound and heal, neither is there anything that can deliver out of my hand. And look at, after all, the same chapter, telling Moses to go and die. Verse 49 to 50. He says that verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day, saying, get thee up into this mountain Abarim unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold, the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel for possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Though he gave him the reason, because the reason he gave him about his sins, not that he was going to die, but because he doesn't want him to get into the land of Canaan, because he disobeyed him. As for death, it was the time for him to die. God said that he is the one who kills. And now, the same day he told Moses that go and die. Isn't that amazing? How do people take this? People think of death as if it's something so like a taboo. No, God said, I kill and make alive. And then the same day, said, go to this mountain. Moses was a faithful servant of God. He said, go to this mountain and die. That is how we look at death. Death is something that is appointed in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Death is appointed unto us, so that death is a matter that should be remembered every day. Death is, it's something that you should remember every day and think about it. You know, because we may not meet tomorrow, but for death we will certainly meet. We may not meet tomorrow, but for death we may meet death very soon. So that all those who would think of it sincerely would definitely prepare for the judgment afterwards. Because we are told, as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You see, so if we should think about death, and the cause of death, the whole God the sin, and the mystery of death, it has brought us under God's wrath and has made us disobedient against God, and that because of that, death, eternal death is hanging on us, and that in life we are cut off from God, then it will move us to seek reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. It will move us to seek after having peace with God through Christ. But because people don't think of death, even Christians, people, they are Christians, they think that should be far away from them. It's amazing. That is something like unbelievable. I don't know how to describe them. But to a believer, death is something we should always remember every day. We should remember every day. Also, death brings the life of a sinner into eternal misery. But for believers in Christ, death is desirable. Do we desire death? Are we believers in Christ? Do we desire death? If we don't desire that, then we should really, maybe our faith is weak, because since death hastens us to the enjoyment of eternal happiness. When we die, we are cut off from misery. We are brought closer to eternity. We are brought to where the Lord is. Look at what Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8. He said that we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body, to die. And that is what believers must be. And if we are to think this way, how will we serve the Lord even with? Because we don't know how much we have left. Sometimes we think we have so many time to left so that we can even postpone our service to the Lord. Yes, and that is worldly thinking. If we should think that we don't know if we are meeting tomorrow, we may be driven to go and meet the Savior. And there's a hymn we used to sing when I was the fundamental Baptist, is that, must I go with an empty handed? You're talking about, as a Christian, what have I done to the Lord? What have I done for the Lord? Must I go and meet the Savior with empty hands? Which other souls have I helped to come to the Savior? I go and meet the Savior who have loved and died and saved me from the misery of death, and I go there without working for Him. What a shame. If we should think of death, it will move us to sincere service, sincere devotion, and will cut off from every sin that easily beset us. You know the Hebrew text said that, our believer's life is so, we live in a small space of time. That is that we should put out every sin that easily beset us. And what? Move on. And to be urgent in our devotion to the Lord. That's how we have to be. If death comes to our mind each and every day, I don't think our small afflictions will think of them. Because that will spur us to know that, well, one day we'll be out of the afflictions. One day, troubles of life will end. But as we are believers, if we are believers, we know that we are going to a better place. That is why Apostle Paul can tell the Thessalonians that they should comfort those who are sorrowful, because their departed family members are gone, because the Lord will come soon. We may also go soon to be with the Lord. And that is the joy of believers concerning death. Death is no more a terror for us. For unbelievers, death is a terror. But for us, death is a profit. When we die, we end the life. God knows why He has taken our life, and that for our profit. To meet the Lord and to be with Him forever, which is better. Every believer wants to go and be with the Savior. May the Lord help us as we think on these things.